This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You're listening to Gorgeous for Gorgeous, Juno Dawson, and Sexy for Sexy, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno. How are you?
I'm gorgeous. How are you?
I'm sexy.
Yay! Hi, welcome. We are going to be this week watching one of my favourite episodes. And do you know what? It's such a mystery. I can't tell you why I love this episode so much. But it's one of my all-time favourites.
This is really interesting because usually we are two minds linked. Mm-hmm. But I fucking hated this episode.
Let's get into it.
Not so much the episode, but I just hated that. I hated their behaviour in this episode.
All right. This is going to be interesting to see why we diverge.
Yeah.
We're watching season 4, episode 16, Ring-a-ding. Is it ring-a-ding or ring-a-ding-ding?
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Ring-a-ding-ding. And we're going to be attempting to answer the question, what is it all worth? But Dylan, start us off with a potted synopsis.
Yes. So is this the longest season ever of Sex and the City?
I think it's on a par with 2 and 3. Yeah. I think they were the longest. Although I've got a feeling season 6 is then even longer. I think series 6 is 20 episodes.
And 5 is like almost a half season, isn't it?
They always referred to season 5 as the bonus season, which it wasn't a bonus season. It was just half a season because Sarah Jessica Parker was on maternity leave.
That's why.
So, for whatever reason, they always call it a bonus season. Mm. But yes, it was just half a season. Not even half a season. It was like 8 episodes, I think.
Yeah. So. Ring-a-ding-ding. So Carrie, we get the tail. It starts with the tail end of Carrie and Aiden's.
Yeah. A glimpse of Aiden.
I think we both thought that was it for John Corbett last week. But he's back briefly in this one.
Got paid as well for a full episode.
No, yeah.
Same pay per episode. So.
Yeah. So they break up. Mm-hmm. And Carrie finds herself in a really dodgy financial position with having to... I wasn't exactly clear on like the exact details of what's happening. But basically, if she doesn't find enough money, she has to leave her flat. That's the crux of it. Samantha and Richard. Richard is giving Samantha gifts with quite sort of impersonal messages on them, and she's kind of contending with that. Charlotte has angst because she, not unlike Carrie, but is in a very different financial situation. A significant relationship has just ended for Charlotte as well. Mm-hmm. And not much for Miranda.
She has wind.
Miranda.
Miranda
parts.
Has wind.
Yeah.
Miranda has the chuffs. So why I like this episode. So I'm going to present the case for the defense first, although you would normally present the prosecution first, but Okay, well, actually, should we do that? Maybe you go first with the prosecution. Why don't you like this episode? And then I will defend it.
Okay, so the reason this episode didn't sit well with me is because it has shades of that movie that doesn't actually exist, but for some reason everyone thinks they've seen, which is Sex and the City 2, that collective fever dream that we all heard. Mm-hmm. It's got shades of that strange occurrence. It's just the really entitled complaining about things from Charlotte, Carrie, and Samantha, and also like the kind of approaching the topic of money, but then at the same time, like I noticed in the first 10 minutes, we get five very expensive brand name drops: Chanel, Fendi, Tiffany's, Le Petit Coquette, and Cristal are all mentioned, basically just unpleasant reminders of the second movie for me.
Interesting.
But I did think, and I imagine this might be one of the things that you say, is yes, Carrie was awful, but it was acknowledged that she was awful. Like, the characters around her, like the shop assistant and that woman waiting for the bus and stuff, were like, you are awful and you're ungrateful. So at least, like, there was that. Yeah.
Yeah, so the reason I like this one, and I think, I wonder if this is the 10 years between us showing now, Dylan, because something I find happens in your 30s where all of a sudden some of your friends, their earning potential really kicks in. And in any group of friends, I think, this gulf slightly opens up between your friends who are now earning an awful lot of money and your friends who took jobs in the public sector, which is what I did, you know, so it was kind of like, oh God. And so I suddenly realized, you know, the terrible mistake I had made by going into primary school teaching when some of my friends were earning about four times what I was, kind of, and working a lot less a lot of the time. Now this does happen, you know, I'm not going to go into my friends' finances, but of my close friends, there were seven of us in my immediate friendship group, my sort of bridesmaids. Yeah. And in that, there is a fucking spectrum of earning, you know, with at one end, we have people who are earning huge amounts, six figures, you know, a lot of money every single year.
Yeah.
And then we have friends who are really struggling, you know, work in the public sector or have really had huge losses during the pandemic with businesses going bankrupt. And I totally get what Charlotte is saying. How the fuck do you talk about your lives when all of a sudden there is such inequality, even within a group of seven friends? We are the same age. We are similarly educated to within a similar level. We're all kind of, I think all of us have some degree of higher education. That's really tough. That's really, really tough when some of you are talking about booking your third or fourth holiday in a year.
Mm.
And then other people are worrying about how the fuck are we going to get clothes this winter? You know, yeah, like, what are we going to do for heating? And so I totally sympathize with Charlotte saying money is tricky. It's taboo. Yeah. And weirdly, it's one of the things that, you know, as a group of friends, it's really difficult to talk about. And it's funny because when we were 28, this wasn't an issue. We were all earning about the same. We were all on the come up slightly. We were all building our way up. And then somewhere in the middle of our 30s, we just went in very different directions. And a lot of that is to do with, you know, some of our friends had very specific skills that they could charge the earth for, because not everyone can do what it is they do. And others became management. So others worked their way up and got themselves into positions of managing people, which when you're in certain jobs like mine, you know, I'm never going to be a manager, am I? I just manage myself, kind of, because I'm self-employed. So it's tough. And I think it's interesting because they are, as Charlotte points out, you know, Carrie, you're 35 years old. And their lives are in that unique position of evolving, in that, you know, Miranda's about to become a mother, which is acknowledged. Carrie's like, I can't take your money, you're about to become a mum. Charlotte is about to get divorced. Samantha is a business owner. See, it's difficult. It's tough, and I'm glad that within these six seasons, they did find 25 minutes to talk about money.
Mm.
And the reason I don't mind this in the same way that obviously I'm so glad they never made a second Sex and the City film that just celebrated the excess of wealth. Because what I like about them at this point is that Carrie is broke.
Yeah.
You know, she has $700 in one account, $900 in another. By my reckoning, that is £1,600.
That's not a lot when you live in New York.
It's really not a lot.
And that's less than... Carrie's poorer than I am now. Mm. And by no means do I consider myself to have a lot of money. So.
And so that's me, spoke of when I was a teacher in my 20s.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the month, I wouldn't have anything in my account. I would be scraping into my overdraft
yeah.
for the last few days before I got paid. You know, my rent... It was slightly different when I came back to Brighton. But when I left teaching, my rent was £750 a month. The same as Carrie's. Rent is £750 a month.
Yeah.
So my rent was £750 a month. And I was earning just shy of £2,000 a month.
Yeah.
And that was, I was doing quite well as a teacher. I was management at that point.
Yeah.
I was like in charge of English and stuff. And I was still running out of money. So once you took out that 750, so that wasn't including council tax. So basically with council tax, that was like 900. So I was left with just over £1,000 a month to live on. And I really struggled, you know.
Mm.
And had Aidan said to me in 2011, right, you now need to stump up a £40,000 down payment on a flat. I similarly would have been like, Carrie, are you fucking kidding?
Yeah.
I have £1,000 to my name.
Yeah.
And so that's why I can forgive this episode in a way I can't forgive Sex and the City 2.
Yeah.
Because we're acknowledging that as a woman in her 20s, Carrie has made shit decisions with money.
Yeah.
But you'll notice throughout this episode, there's one point where they're sat in that Chinese restaurant and she's talking about how she hasn't got any money. She's fucking wearing Chanel.
Yes, I wrote that down as well. Yeah.
Just kind of, but that's true. But I like that because that's the problem with later, which is when you've got four women who are so wildly wealthy, you can't sympathize with
yeah.
them. You can't identify with them.
And it is acknowledged as well, to be fair, that like part of the reason Carrie doesn't have any money is because she spends money that she shouldn't spend on clothes.
Yeah.
So well, it kind of made
horror,
sense.
The horror of when Miranda does her maths for her. And
yeah.
she's and Carrie's like, no, that's $4,000.
And
Miranda's like, no, it's $40,000.
Do you know what? I identified with Carrie in that bit because my head for money is absolutely useless.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. It's interesting what you said about your friends, about it being a very, shall we say, diverse kind of group of people in terms of earning and jobs and stuff. I've noticed that as I approach 30, and most of my friends are a couple of years older, there's similar things happening. And it just says a lot, I think, about one about what your choices, the impact that your choices have and your priorities, and two, just about how random life can be. I mean, like, another good example, I think, is my friends on the gay scene. Like, the gay scene's very diverse in terms of, the London gay scene is very diverse in terms of, like, what people do and what people earn. Like, one of my friends was on a red carpet with Lady Gaga a couple of weeks ago. Another of my friends works in a restaurant. Not that either of those things, not that one is more valid than the other, but it really is these, like, crazy kind of, these crazy cultural and financial discrepancies.
And as well, what will happen soon, what I found happening in my early 30s was these people who were saying like, my parents are giving me the deposit.
Oh, yeah.
And like, well, I'm moving house. Oh, yeah, I'm going to buy this time.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you're a teacher like I am.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my parents are giving me the down payment. And you're like, oh, right, I get
which it. Which is fine if, like, you're from that background and you're fortunate enough to have access to that. But it doesn't make it any easier it doesn't mean it's easy to listen to.
But their parents were given a deposit as well.
Yes,
and this is
of
it
course.
Nine times. Sometimes that
yeah.
happens. And, you know, strangely, my dad now is... When my dad retired a couple of years ago, he retired quite well off. But he had really, really worked his way up from nothing. My dad didn't really even have a bunch of GCSEs or O-levels or whatever. He just worked. He got a job when he was 16 and he worked for the same company until he retired, you know. But, you know, what you're looking at when those little things, like my parents are giving me the deposit, they're little nods to generational wealth.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not telling me fucking Charlotte bought her first flat with her gallery earnings, you know, because they sit around the table and Carrie's like, New York is a city of renters. And all of them are like, well, I own my flat. Yeah. And I own my flat. And I own my flat.
But do you know what? That's what made me think of how things are starting to change in my sort of social circles now, because people are getting to the age, and I'm friends with a lot of high achievers, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because they're all just very interesting and really like driven. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I'm saying what I want to say. I'm not sure if this is sounding right here.
No, I think you're right. I think ambition and drive. That's something my friends, we all have that in common. Kind of, yeah. You can be ambitious for different things, but you know, I think again.
But I don't want it to sound like I'm kind of using financial earning as like a modicum of success, because I don't think it is necessarily. I think happiness is as well, but where was I going with that? But yeah, it's interesting because I now know people who are buying houses.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in my life, some of my friends are starting to buy property, and not just buy property in London as well, which is like quite a thing.
Because I don't even think that's where you start to see the gulf widening slightly, because when some of my friends started buying properties, I was like, I can't buy a coffee, and sort of looking and a bit like Carrie, I did have to interrogate my choices. And for me, the obvious choice was I chose to live in Brighton, you know, the second most expensive city in the UK, kind of. Yeah. And so I did sort of think to myself, you know, I could move back to Bradford where I grew up, and yeah, I could buy a house. I could get a job up there and very quickly buy a house, but I'd have to fucking live in Bradford, which isn't queer, and I don't know anybody there. None of my friends still live there. So I would have been fucking miserable, and I get to live in Brighton, which is the most amazing queer bubble in the country. And I still think it is. There is nowhere else quite like Brighton.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of like, I had to weigh it up and decide, well, which would you rather, be happy or rich? And like you, Dylan, I chose happiness.
Yeah. And I think we all make those decisions at some point, don't we? Like, I could have possibly gone into a different career, but I'd made a lot of money, but I wouldn't have liked it. Like, I love writing. I love what I do. So, yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's why I can forgive this episode. And also, there's just something about the love, just how, again, the fact that I moulded my notion of friendship based on Sex and the City.
Mm.
And the scene where, without a heartbeat, Miranda and Samantha offer to lend Carrie the money.
Yeah.
That is in my head what I thought a friend would be.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like, and I sort of thought, my God, I wonder if I have friends who would bail me out like that. And I think I do now.
Yeah.
That's the really interesting thing, that, you know, knowing my friends for as long as I've known them, if something really dreadful was to happen, I know they would bail me out.
Yeah.
You know, this year I made an offer to bail one of my friends out because I was in a position to do so, you know.
Yeah.
Right now, at this point in time, I'm comfortable. And my friend needed help. So
this is interesting. So you have been in this, because I was gonna say, like, as a hypothetical, what do we think we would do in this situation? And you have been in this situation, and you did do that.
Hmm. I couldn't offer to lend one of my friends $20,000. I'm not in that position.
Right.
But you know, I could help lend out my friends some money. I could definitely make sure they can pay their rent and make sure that they don't skip a mortgage payment or something. You know, the really big stuff. And I know one of my other friends as well sends a fair bit of money home to her family because her family are struggling. So I think that's something, you know, that especially as our population ages, I think our generation, we're really, obviously we're going to be funding our parents' care.
Yeah.
Clearly, the government has just announced really shitty care plans. So
yeah, I think it was interesting. So for listeners, as a refresher, if you haven't watched the episode recently, there's a scene where they're all at dinner and Carrie's talking about her money issues, and Miranda and Samantha offer to lend Carrie money and Charlotte doesn't.
Which is hilarious. The slurping. It's very that meme from Drag Race, isn't it? With
yes. Yes, that's what it reminded me of. I was trying to think what it reminded me of. It's in Untucked or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Charlotte just kind of like doesn't say anything. And then Carrie, of course, like goes around and confronts her.
Possessed by a terrible rage, Carrie goes she loves, around.
In fact, this isn't the first time she's like stormed over to someone's flat in a rage, is it? Mm. But I could kind of see where I could see where Charlotte was coming from.
It's awkward. And I think it's funny because maybe it's a northern thing, but my family is not good at talking about money, and also my mum also warned me never lend money. You know, you don't know if you'll get it back. Which is nuts, because actually, me and my best friend, there has been this kind of ephemeral £50. Swishing in the ether between us for about 25 years. I owe you money for the Spice Girls. Yeah, but you owe me money for the cinema. Oh, but I got dinner last time. You know, this £50 has hovered between us for about 20 years. And that's just the way it goes with friends. You know, I know where she fucking lives. She's not getting away from me. If I ever decide I want that 50 quid, I know where she lives.
And in a way, it's really nice when you're close enough with someone that it gets to that point as well, where like, so like me and my friend Mark, like we do so much stuff together, like we're always going out for drinks or for lunch or cinema or something. And it's got to the point now where it's just like, if it feels like it's time for one of us to pick up, we'll just be like, oh, I'll get this one. Like, we've kind of lost track of, we probably do owe each other a bit of money, but we've lost track because it kind of doesn't matter anymore because we hang out so much that it's evened out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I agree with Charlotte that money is taboo. I think it can, and I think we all know people where money has got involved and things have gone wrong.
Yeah.
Like investments. And do you want to invest in something?
Oh, God,
or,
yeah.
You know, things, you know, we paid to go on a holiday and then you cancelled the holiday. Things.
Yeah.
You know, money, it can get complicated, and it's really complicated with relationships as well. And I'm fully on board with Miranda. What Aiden does is fair. You know, he bought two apartments for them to live in together, and now he's not going to live in them. And apparently he's not interested in being her landlord, which I guess would have been the alternative, would have been Aiden. But then where the fuck is Aiden going to live?
And so, also, like, your ex being your landlord.
Oh, no, that's bad vibes. Really bad vibes.
Oh, I'd rather pay the 40 grand, to be honest, than that.
I was very proud of Carrie for tearing up the check from Big.
Yes.
Because that would have been really fucking tempting when you are staring eviction in the face and your minted ex-boyfriend gives you a check for a deposit.
That's the sort of thing aged... sort of 20, up to when I was like 26, 27, I definitely would have taken that check. But now, I'm like, I wouldn't.
Because as well, the you know, Carrie and Big seem to be in a really good place. Actually, I really like season 4 Carrie and Big. Season 4 Carrie and Big are quite lovely. And they seem to be in a good place. But still, they have a complicated history. And they're going to have a complicated future as well. So maybe Carrie knows. I'm obsessed with the fact Carrie does cosplay to go to Mr. Big's office. Like, what the fuck outfit is she wearing? The white gloves.
I couldn't decide whether... I mean, she looked beautiful.
Yes.
I couldn't decide whether I liked... I wasn't really sure what was going on with the outfit. Although, as Tommy said last week, like, I feel like we've... And I loved this. He was like, we've just got to the point with Carrie now where we're just like, sure. Sure, you wear like a snow princess outfit to go and see your ex and ask for money. That's sure.
Just like, but that's what I love about her, that she lives in this fantasy world where she dresses up as a 1950s secretary to go to Wall Street or wherever.
Well, as Miranda famously yells at her, you're living in a fantasy.
Yes, she is. And this is Carrie. And you've kind of got to accept that.
Yeah.
Or don't watch Sex and the City. because you're going to be bitterly, bitterly disappointed. If that's...
I liked her line where she said that she imagined that his office was just rows and rows of blondes in tight sweaters typing. I enjoyed that line. Yeah.
And that's kind of what she's gone dressed as. And I do, you know, to round off the Carrie plotline, I also really love the scene in the end where Charlotte gives her the engagement ring. And they actually have a very... Because it's funny, there's not a lot of Carrie-Charlotte plots.
No, there aren't at all.
And so actually, when they get to spend time together, it's really rather lovely. Yeah. And that both of their scenes, the scene where Carrie flies over possessed by rage, is wonderful. And because Carrie's so deranged and so unhinged in that scene. But then I also really like their lovely coffee together as well, where Charlotte gives her the ring and Carrie, in a moment of rare clarity, says, do you understand that it's going to take me a really long time to pay you back? And, you know, it feels, they're just two recently singled women.
Yeah.
Helping and each other out.
There's a bit of character growth for Charlotte as well when she says, I didn't love the ring. I loved what the ring represented. Like, she's finally realised kind of what was happening with her marriage.
It's over, babes.
Yeah.
Let's take a little break. And when we come back, we will talk about the cost of a Tiffany ring and Chanel gifts, apparently. See you in a sec.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ring-a-ding-ding. Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. We're talking about ring-a-ding-ding. Mm-hmm. I did some research, Dylan.
Oh, yeah?
I fell down a very pleasing rabbit hole. What did you think Charlotte's engagement ring is worth in 2021?
Oh,
don't Google
God.
It. You're not allowed to Google.
Okay. I'll be amazed if this is anywhere near, because as we've already established, I don't know much about jewellery.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2.1 carat?
Mm-hmm.
She said in the voiceover. I'm going to go for $30,000.
Oh, you poor, sweet, innocent child. Oh, in 2021, God. A Tiffany ring to the same specifications as Charlotte's is £95,000.
That's disgusting.
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's disgusting.
Mad. The world is unfair.
Yeah.
Eat the rich. Ban billionaires.
Eat Charlotte's wedding ring.
Eat Charlotte's ring.
Oh, this was something that... This was a ridiculous... I don't even know if it annoyed me just because it was so ridiculous. But when Charlotte, like, just sort of puts on her ring and mournfully walks around her apartment, like, really sad, it just didn't quite... I think it was genuinely supposed to be a sad scene and I was just like, I'm not sad for Charlotte at all.
I think it's... So, there's a lot of weird ring etiquette in Sex and the City. Let's talk about the weird ring etiquette of Sex and the City. So, we have Carrie giving back her engagement ring, which presumably could have been her down payment, depending on what Aiden had spent on it. Or certainly if she'd sold the ring, she would have got some money for it.
Mm.
But she ethically feels it's the right thing to do to give Aiden his ring back. Would you have given him the ring back?
I was going to ask you the same thing.
I would have made the gesture. And then when Aiden said, no, you should keep it, I would have been like,
Okay. Very quickly. Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. As long as that's... Yeah, that's fine. Okay. But I would have offered...
I don't know. I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Because later on, Samantha gives Richard Wright the canary yellow diamond back as well. So there's a lot of people giving back gifts.
Yeah.
Which I understand with Carrie because it's about what it meant. And she says, which is kind of brutal, I should have never have accepted it in the first place.
Yeah. It makes sense that she gave it back because she's very like sort of sentimental and like things represent things to her, don't they?
And also she never made it down the aisle as well. So that's the difference between her and Charlotte. So Charlotte did make it down the aisle. And now they're getting divorced and Trey and Charlotte have mutually decided their marriage isn't working.
Yeah.
Charlotte does not give back the ring. However, she does, and the sirens that you hear coming down the street are the work Charlotte sirens. She does take it to a really offensive jeweler.
I wish we had got a name for that for the jeweler.
I mean, it's kind of amazingly played, but you know, she does use homophobic slurs to describe her ex-husband, and she does scream a racial slur about the jewelers next door as well. So we can't support her endeavors.
Yeah, there was baguette to faggot. And then she says, these were my baguettes, but it turned out my husband was a faggot. Do you know what? I've been watching Will and Grace recently, and Karen says fag and faggot a lot in Will and Grace in the early episodes. But I feel like Karen is allowed to say it. I don't know. I personally, as a gay man, I don't mind. Mm. It's very, it can't be a blanket thing. Like, it's a very very individual case by case scenario.
And it's who wrote it as well. Like, who was the writer? Gay? Is it their slur to use?
Yeah.
One imagines there were more gay writers on Will and Grace than maybe there were on Sex and the City. Although, I didn't see who wrote this episode. But, as well, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because when you're talking about slurs, usually if they're going to be reclaimed, it's by the people from that community, kind of. And so, yeah, I hear gay man all the time kind of using that word. Mm. But I'm just, I don't know. I sometimes think with any word being reclaimed by its community, I'm just, people from outside the community hear it and think it's okay.
Yeah.
And I've always felt that with kind of,
It quite possibly did happen with, and we've discussed this before with Sex and the City, haven't we? With like, in particular, the bisexuality episode, where like people see it on the TV, think it's okay, repeat it in work situations or social situations or whatever.
So she's cancelled. I don't know if there's anything else to say about Charlotte, because Charlotte's plot is basically Carrie's plot. It's funny, I felt for Charlotte not being able to find paid work because she's overqualified. However, people with Charlotte's experience would have probably been headhunted.
Right.
So I believe there would, for people who have the level of experience in the art world that Charlotte had.
And surely the contacts as well.
Yeah, it doesn't quite ring true. Mm. You know, when as a person you have a very particular skill set in a particular field, if you're an editor in publishing or if you are, you know, highly skilled in tech or science.
Yeah.
You know, you have the contacts. And a beginner couldn't do your job. So, you know, what Charlotte would do is she would hear that, oh, Diane is leaving the X, Y, and Z gallery. You know, you probably wouldn't even need to interview. You would just be kind of, again, like headhunted for the position. Mm. But yeah, right now, obviously, Charlotte can't find work, so she takes on a volunteer position. And that must be quite scary. And it's interesting, she doesn't admit she's made a mistake. Miranda, if we remember Miranda previously, chastised her for giving up her career to paint pots and cure AIDS. And so there isn't really an acknowledgement from Charlotte that that was a terrible faux pas, and now she's stuck stroking her engagement ring around a huge apartment, arranging roses. But yeah, she is, it's, because it's interesting, she never does return to work.
Yeah, a less problematic shop assistant, diverging slightly, was the one at the shoe shop.
Oh, the poor shoe shop guy. Yeah, I'm so glad he gave Carrie a piece of his mind.
Yeah, when Carrie was like, do not let me buy anything. And he was like, oh, how fun for me.
Thanks, I'll just go get those shoes you're not going to buy. Thanks, Miss Bradshaw. Samantha and Richard and Roger the gay.
Yeah.
who I do love. Poor Roger. Probably did get fired. Richard probably did fire him.
Yeah. Yeah, so it turns out... Yeah, so Samantha's getting these cards, gifts and cards from Richard. Mm-hmm. And the cards say best wishes instead of love. And she wants him to say love. So she bribes his assistant to write love. Because it's actually his assistant who's writing the cards.
Yeah.
She bribes his gay assistant to say love on the card.
A cute plot, a way to force Richard into admitting love.
Yeah.
Fluff.
And then she doesn't say it back.
Yeah. I adored Samantha's outfit the night they go to the Chinese, where she's got like the red fanny pack around the front. Very chic.
And
very
then she's
chic,
wearing
Samantha.
Like a big, like a sort of nude woman's
necklace. Yeah, I don't like the naked lady necklace. I don't love that. But the dress I thought was very chic.
I really liked that shot. It's quite strange, but you might know what I mean. It's quite strange to like just one specific shot, but I loved the wide shot of them in Chinatown, and it's like hot, and they've got fans, and it's like, for some reason, that's one of the Sex and the City tableaus that sticks in my mind.
Yeah, really beautifully framed. I also clocked that, thought it was very lovely.
Yeah.
Which just leaves us with Miranda, who is farty, but we come full circle in that she gets a mercy fuck.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really sweet scene, actually, with her and Steve. Mm-hmm. Steve was like, she was like, who would want to have sex with me? And he was like, I want to have sex with you. And then they did.
I love Miranda and Steve.
Yeah.
Their relationship is so complicated, but so authentic.
Yeah,
and
totally.
I think it's really wonderful. And again, I love Miranda just giving Carrie legal advice. I think that's always... there's also a lawyer in our group chat.
Oh, nice. Good.
It's always very useful to have a lawyer on side.
Yeah,
I've got... Would you please write a scary letter to my landlord, please?
I've got one as well, actually. Mm. It is, yeah. I escaped many a sleepless night from just talking to him about a couple of things.
Have I done a crime? No, Dylan, you haven't done a crime. So I really think, to answer Carrie's question, what is it all worth? So it's a tricky question to answer, because obviously that could mean anything. I suppose... It's a tricky one, which slightly harks back to Charlotte negotiating her value with Bunny in the prenup.
Yeah.
This is not something that's new. Relationships have always come with a price tag. You know, going back to the notion of the dowry, you know, which is where...
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, fathers would pay to have daughters taken off their hands, kind of. Which is a practice that still, in some cultures, still happens. Mm-hmm. So there is a financial element to relationships. And it's a funny one as well, because if you're married, and it's quite scary if you get divorced when you're married, you know, you are financially liable for half your earnings, you know, which is really scary. And I'm going to confess, Max and I did discuss a prenup.
Uh-huh.
But in this country, a prenup isn't actually legally binding. There is no such thing as a prenup in the United Kingdom.
Right, yeah.
So there was basically, we would have paid a lawyer for nothing, essentially. But we have some legal protections around the ownership of the flat, because I own more of it than Max, to represent that I put down more of the deposit than Max.
Yeah.
So you can do things like that, but it's, again, you can't really talk about it's idealistic and romantic to think that money isn't going to be a consideration in your relationships, especially your romantic relationships. And that's why, you know, Miranda makes a really good point. You know, this is real life. Steve and I are drawing up documents for sharing our baby. That's what life is like, you know. Yeah.
As always, like, Miranda knows, like, I think, I'm not sure if this is answering the question properly, but I think just you've just got to be realistic, haven't you, really? Unfortunately, I would love to live in a utopia where, like, money didn't matter, but we don't.
Dating is expensive, and I think you almost have to just write it off. You know, if you know, when a relationship comes to an end, I don't think it's particularly helpful to think, gosh, and I ploughed a load of money into that person.
Oh, God. Yeah, no.
I think more frustrating, perhaps, to say, I can't believe 3 years have passed.
Yeah.
You know, I would sometimes, I think, I would maybe bemoan how much time had gone into a relationship, but never how much money, I don't think.
Yeah, because there's nothing you can do, you know, there's nothing you can, what's the point? What's the point in torturing yourself about it?
Indeed.
Before we finish, just another lovely message from one of our listeners.
Oh, I do love them.
Yes. They say, hi, Dylan and Juno. Just listened to your latest episode whilst working night shift in a care home and thought I'd write to tell you that, like Carrie Bradshaw, I too lived in a flat with a bathroom in it that had two doors. I felt so fancy as one door was from my bedroom, so ensuite, and one door was from the hallway. My flat was an accessible flat designed for people who use wheelchairs, so all the rooms were massive, including the bathroom. The only downside was that the kitchen countertop's really low, which wasn't a problem for 5'3" me, but my 6-foot boyfriend moved in later and he struggled. Anyway, love the podcast. Kisses.
Aww, thank you. Do keep your letters coming. And we will see you next week to discuss season 4, episode 17, A Vogue Idea.
Yes.
Until then, stay in touch at SIGTT Podcast. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.